In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave
the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us.
He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron.
He will bless those who fear the Lord.
Both the small and the great.
We will bless the Lord.
From this time forth and forevermore, praise the Lord.
He be to the Father and to the Son. And to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. The Lord be with you.
And with
let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this second Sunday of Lent is from Genesis chapter 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings will come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. This is the word of the Lord. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus,
the founder and perfecter of our faith,
who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame,
and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Our epistle reading is from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist. And others say Elijah. And others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is our epistle reading for today from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, particularly these words. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is our text. In the name of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear Christian friends, a non-Christian was talking with his Christian friend one day, and this is what he had to say. The Christian religion is nothing but a lot of giving. You give up bad habits. You give up parties. You give up living your life the way you want to live it. You give up everything that is fun and joyful. And then you have to give where it hurts. You give your money and you give your time. Give, give, give. That's all there is to Christianity. The Christian friend thought for a moment and then he replied, I guess you might have a point, but it seems that no matter how much I give to God, He always gives me back even more. A lot of people look at the church like that non-Christian friend. They see the church as a place to go and to pay dues or membership just like any other community or civic club, like Lions Club or Rotary One. But is that really what it is? What is really sad is they never see what God gives back to the Christian. They never understand or even notice God's goodness to His people. And that is really sad, because the one thing that the rest of our world these days needs, and in this day and time, is right there before them through the grace and the love of God. The world today is living in despair, in fear, and in worry. What the world really needs these days is some good, old-fashioned hope, something to look forward to. As Paul said in the text, hope does not disappoint us. Our text tells us three facts about hope. First of all, without God's love, there is no hope. It seems that our world is always looking for its own answer to everything. The world is never satisfied with a pat answer. God says, trust in me and I will provide. But man says, I got to do something. I have a better idea than God's idea. So he puts his trust into things of this world. Man says, let's make world peace. And so he creates a United Nations with which to keep the world from ever going to war again. Man says, let's provide a minimum wage for all people so that everyone will have enough money for food, clothing, and shelter. And man says, let's stop polluting the air, the streams, the lakes, so that this country will look like it did in the 1600s when only a handful of Native Indians lived here. All of us want our world to be a better place in which to live, especially for our children and our grandchildren. But being realistic, that kind of utopia or perfect community will never exist here on earth. The United Nations will never end war in the world. The Bible tells us there will be wars and rumors of wars until Judgment Day. No matter how high a minimum wage the government gives to people, people are still sinful. And there are those people who are going to use that money for the wrong reasons. And so there will still be hunger, disease, and hopelessness in our world because of man's sinful nature. And then we cannot trust in the basic goodness of mankind, nor can we put our trust in the hope of this world. All of that is just a pipe dream that will never come true. It is not a sure hope. Some people put their trust in themselves. In pride and in arrogance, they say, I'll do it myself. They say, I'll accomplish all that needs to be done. I will provide all my own needs, physical and spiritual. I don't need God or anyone else. But again, because of man's sinfulness, he falls short of accomplishing all that is needed, especially in the spiritual realm, where God tells us, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The standard is not better than the man down the street. The standard is as good as God, and no one can keep that standard. Apart from God, away from his love, there is no hope. We cannot put our hope in this world. We cannot put our hope in our own powers. Our only sure hope is in God. And that brings us to our second fact about hope. God gave us this hope through a great sacrifice. Paul tells us in our text, while we were yet helpless, at the right time, Christ died for us. That took a lot of love on God's part. All people are sinful. All people are rebellious against God through sin. And yet, even in our sinfulness, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die on a cross for you and for me. Paul knew how great a love it was, and he wanted to emphasize upon the minds of the Romans just how great a sacrifice this really was. And during this Lenten season, we too remember the sacrifice of God. We remind ourselves that Jesus Christ was that Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Paul told the Romans, one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man one will dare even to die. Like a soldier who jumps on a live grenade to protect his fellow soldiers. It is hard enough to believe that someone would die for a good man. But then Paul repeats for emphasis, while we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for us. The hope which we have comes only from the love of God and the sacrifice of great price. The death of God's Son paid for our sins as Christ died on the cross for you and for me. Then there is a third statement which we can make about our Christian hope. We can say our hope is sure and certain. We are not standing in wet sand. We are not standing on shifting gravel. We are standing on Christ, the solid rock, which shall stand to all eternity. We need have no doubts. We need have no fears. The God who loves us gave his Son to die for us. There is nothing we need to fear. Paul wanted the Romans to be sure of this also, because he told them in our text, if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life? Paul was saying, do you really think that if God was willing to let his Son die for you, is there anything else that he would keep from you? Even in suffering, Paul says, God is with you. Why? He says, because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Even in suffering, which we do not understand, God has his reasons and his purpose. And for the Christian, that is hope. Our hope is sure because we base it on the promises of God for his people. You and I have much to look forward to, both here on earth and in heaven throughout eternity. Without God, there is no hope. Our hope was paid for by the blood of God's own Son, and our hope is sure. May this sure and living hope live in your hearts now and forever through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. To God alone be the glory. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all Christians, that the Holy Spirit may enable us to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow Christ through this troubled life into heaven. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that all servants of the church may fulfill the ministries committed to them, and that we may each boldly confess Christ before the world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith and perseverance, that we might neither shun our Lord's suffering nor our own, and that we might be delivered out of the hand of the wicked and redeemed from the grasp of the ruthless. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families, that even as God blessed and multiplied Abraham, all mothers with child might be protected and all fathers equipped to lead and raise their household in fear and love of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the Lord, to whom belongs all kingship and rule over the nations, would bless Joseph, our president, and those who govern and rule wisely, in accord with his will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need of healing and restoration, that they may bear their crosses and endure to see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, let us pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, receive our prayer this day for St. Peter and his confession that Jesus is the cross. We rejoice that your Son builds his church upon this rock and that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Keep us in this faith all our days through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the realm and the power and the glory forever and ever.
O holy and most merciful God, you have taught us the way of your commandments. We implore you to pour out your grace into our hearts. Cause it to bear fruit in us, that being ever mindful of your mercies and your laws, we may always be directed to your will and daily increase in love toward you and one another. Enable us to resist all evil and to live a godly life. Help us to follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to walk in his steps until we shall possess the kingdom that has been prepared for us in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.